All right. Welcome to Commissioner's Court. The court is going to begin. If we would all stand together. Do we have a volunteer for prayer this morning? If you would, as you do, Counsel, if you would come to the mic, if you would, please.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just to give thanks and just to say thank you for the many blessings, and we ask that you watch over us, our court, our citizens of Montgomery County and the state, our military. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, if we say our pledges to the flag first, to the American flag and the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all. Let the record reflect that all are present here today. Need a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Consider and approve court minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes?
I move on a minute.
Thank you. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Now, as we move to the consent agenda, do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I move.
Second.
Okay. I have one modification I'd like to make, if I can. Forgive me for not bringing it up. It's page 7 of 12, and it's to defer J2. J up at the top under County Judge 2. I'd like to defer that to a later date.
And Judge,
I move on consent with that modification.
I'm sorry?
I have a question on J1.
Yeah.
You had considered and discussed and approved. Is there something that needed to be discussed?
No.
Or is that just
no, this good? We've done a number of these. Rakesh has certified it. So thank you. All right. So to have a motion, then you change it to modification with acceptance of modification.
And I'd like to move T1 on page 10 to open custodial services. T1.
Okay. We have a change of the motion now to consent agenda with modifications.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. And we'll move over to our open agenda. I did not receive anything from our constituents on possible individuals wanting to make comments.
Do you want to take T1 first? That was moved.
Okay. But there was none at the very outset for consent. I apologize for not bringing that up. Okay. Yes, let's do T1. Custodial services.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
So please consider and approve the downgrade of the position as listed on the agenda.
Will there be salary variance in that line?
I will be giving back about $1,854 per year.
$1,854. So you have a custodial 2 position that you're going to reduce to a custodial 1, bring that person in, and we'll return the variance to the general fund.
That's correct.
Just wanted to make sure that's how it was going to work.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you
very much. Good job. All right. And I did not receive any documents from our citizens. Do we have any of those? Okay, there's none. All right, then let's move on. We'll consider discretion, take action on the following items. County Clerk.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. We're here this morning in accordance with Texas Local Government Code Section 152.015. The County Judge at this time will draw the names for the public members of the Salary and Grievance Committee.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that we're going to need them. We're just being prepared because it's on a very short, limited time schedule that we can do that if someone decides to grieve. So right. I'm going to step up there and let you draw.
Come on. Barbara Kilpatrick. Vivian Mikulski. How did I do it that last time? Sherry Armstrong.
And now are we drawing alternate?
Now we're drawing alternate.
Okay.
Lisa Harris. Draw with my left hand. Nancy Castro. And the last, this is alternate, Nathan Brown. All right. Thank you. Darren, we appreciate Darren. It so much.
In the past years, this has been a difficult process because we didn't have a buy-in from the district clerk to provide the names. I want to thank Melissa Miller and Kelsey Padgett for awesome. Responding as soon as I sent the request to them. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Point noted. Appreciate it. All right. Budgets. Amanda?
Judge, I'm going to take it from here, okay, since I need my laptop. 11A, consider and approve purchasing law enforcement vehicles and related equipment currently in the FY 2020 budget out of existing FY 19 funds not to exceed $2.2 million. In the budget for the FY 2020 budget, we have identified some big ticket expenditures that after reviewing the 19 budget with the Sheriff's Office the Budget Office recommends between a combination of using quarter three vacancy money, some other salary lines the Sheriff's Office has, some insurance monies, and some of their operating lines, and along with a little bit of money from contingency to fund the vehicles that are in the 2020 budget out of the FY19 budget. The total cost that we're recommending to be paid out of the 19 budget is a little over $1.8 million, $1,874,745. Out of that, the Sheriff's Office in their budget came up with a little over $1.5 million, which basically means that for you guys to fund all of these vehicles in 19 would require us to hit contingency $312,140.
How much is in contingency right now?
So currently the fund balance in contingency is $979,806.
How many vehicles will this purchase?
So this will purchase 30 Tahoes, 13 Chevrolet Traverses for the detectives, 2 trucks for Homeland Security, and a charger for Internal Affairs.
Homeland Security, 2 trucks, explain.
They requested 2 replacement trucks. Most of these are replacement vehicles, so they already currently have vehicles. What we do is we worked with the list that purchasing provided us on the inventory list. Between going through the inventory list and working with the SO, we came up with 23 vehicles. They're asking for an additional 5 vehicles that were what we call fleeted out, which means that they were wrecked and they need now to replace it. So what we're asking the court to fund today is all of the vehicles that I had in the 2020 budget, with the exception of 2 vehicles and 5 additional vehicles that were wrecked.
For clarification, this is, you're doing A, B, C, and D here as we're talking
no,
about.
No, sir, I'm not.
This is just A?
This is just A.
Are these addressing any of the new positions for 2020?
They're not. So all of these vehicles are currently vehicles that are on the replacement list for the sheriff's office.
Where did he come up? Where did the sheriff come up with the money? Where did it come from?
It came from quite a few lines.
Okay.
What he's done for quarter one and quarter two on vacancy is move that money into a line, like a holding line, in case he needed some overtime projects or whatever. He's identified roughly over $587,000 just in that line. And then he has various other lines in insurance money that we got back from, you know, accidents, along with money from various operating lines. I have a list of...
Majority of it come from salaries?
15. Say again?
Majority of it come from salaries?
Salary or benefits lines.
Okay.
I know that Gilbert and you have talked about putting in place some sort of a vehicle replacement policy, because one of the issues we have now is we're going to add, so this is 45 vehicles to the fleet. I'd like to see us decommission...
Oh, yeah, that's
those
the plan.
45 vehicles. So I want to make sure that's part of that we're just not growing this fleet by another 45 cars, that we're actually taking these out. And secondly, I would really like to know what we're replacing, how many miles are on them, what we're looking at. Because we can't. This is going to be 45 vehicles, and it's not going to address any needs for new cars for new law enforcement officers that he may get. And then the last comment is I'd really like to see us try to pull that number back to at least what he can fund out of his own budget. So let's not tap into contingency just yet. Let's go with whatever he can fund out of his budget, pay for that, and then as we go through and look at what the needs are in the Sheriff's Department during the budget, we can address the rest of them there. That would be my motion if we could do that.
I agree. You know, we've still got a couple of months to go with the contingency balance that we have, and if we're under $1,312,000 out of it, that's a third of what we got. And I agree. We can address those items if they come up.
I agree.
Pardon me.
I know we've got. I know the sheriff identified, and I get it. I mean, he's the one to do that. But maybe, what are we talking about with $312,000? Nine cars.
So to fund all of the 2020 vehicles, if you didn't want to increase that to the five that, you know, were fleeted out, his revenue covers everything but $53,000. If we do every vehicle that I had recommended, and how I went about recommending in the FY 2020 budget is I looked at 10 years, 130,000 miles, either or. 130,000 miles. Remember, on
personal vehicles with more miles than that.
But
we're
again,
talking about patrol vehicles.
Patrol vehicles, they go by, in fact, the sheriff's office, they don't actually use a mileage component on their replacement. They use motor hours, how long the motor's been running. And so I kind of, what we ended up doing is kind of coming to a compromise on which vehicles were going to be replaced, because my replacement list didn't match exactly what they wanted.
So what you're saying is if we use $23,000 out of contingency?
$53,000.
$53,000, that would satisfy what you were recommending?
In the 2020 budget, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'll amend my motion, you know, to allow for that.
As a note, as an aside, on Thursday's agenda, isn't there information there to cover cars on
right.
New officers?
So that was the intention of what we noticed on Thursday. What we noticed on Thursday is here's the main reason we're doing this. GM is closing the order window for Tahoes because they're retooling the Tahoe. They're closing that window in September. So we cannot actually place an order out of our FY 2020 budget for Tahoes and get them until fiscal year 2021. So it's just because the next window of opportunity for that opening would be April or May, likely not to get the vehicles in service until October 2021.
Well, we're buying 30 here, so that ought to
right.
do it.
That should settle. That should satisfy right. their, you know, their replacements for next year. And then the agenda item I had for Thursday was if you guys give any positions during workshops, then that item comes back and we try to fund those vehicles that you guys said yes to on positions.
Okay.
So this is only for 11A, and the motion will be to approve the purchase of 40 vehicles utilizing the funds that the sheriff has identified in his budget, plus no more than $53,000 from contingency.
You move?
Yes.
A second.
All in favor? Any more discussion?
Can you do 53,460?
Nope.
One?
53,461. .00.
Yeah.
All right.
Please note that. We have a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item B. Amanda?
Okay. Consider and approve purchasing used canine vehicle from Stephen Clausen in the amount of $26,100. This vehicle is for a deputy currently on auto allowance with the removal approaching October 1st. So when I brought you guys the list of replacement of people that were falling off salary supplement, and then you guys ordered the cars for those a few, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, this specific individual reached out to purchasing and my office to ask if it was possible for us to buy the vehicle that was already completely outfitted for his job. Purchasing got the appraisal. They reviewed the appraisal. The recommended purchase is the $26,100.
I move.
Second.
And that's to be funded out of a holding account that we have from pulling some of those vehicles out.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item C.
Okay. Item C, consider and approve funding equipment for the 29 vehicles for law enforcement positions that currently have vehicle allowance not to exceed $580,000. The cost for, there were five vehicles in Constable 1, seven vehicles in Constable 2, six vehicles in Constable 3, two vehicles in Constable 4, and seven in Constable 5. The total for all of the equipment for all of those vehicles is $567,405. I have a little bit of money left over in my holding account for vehicles. I have $97,000 I do need from the court if you guys wish to fund the equipment so that we can get these cars on the ground by October 1st, $459,288.
So this gets us out of the allowance business, correct?
For law enforcement, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amanda, this isn't the first time you've brought the purchase of vehicles before
this is,
the court.
This is the equipment. This is not not the vehicles. This is the equipment for the vehicles.
Proof of funding.
Funding for equipment.
Mm-hmm. How much did you do a comparison of what it would cost to buy new equipment?
Yeah, so this is what this agenda item is for new equipment.
Oh.
And we
to outfit the county cars that they're gonna get into when they give up their car allowance.
Yes.
Is there equipment that they have in their car now worth buying?
So it's a mix of we've gotten some feedback from some of the constables. Some of the constable equipment that is in those vehicles is obviously personal owned. Because a county vehicle is not going to be able to be used for part-time jobs, side jobs, a lot of them are not really wanting to get rid of that equipment, especially if they purchased it, because they'll be able to still use those vehicles for, their other patrolling that they do. But what we are doing is if it's county-owned equipment that's in those vehicles, Gilbert has an idea that I think he's going to bring forward to you guys here in the future about, you know, some of our options of what we can do with that equipment.
How do we know what's county owned and what's not? Once it goes in that car, how do you know it?
Some asset tags. I know the auditor's office keeps up with some of it, and I know the constable's offices keep up with some of it. We're going through that right now too.
Do the constables have any excess salary funds at this point?
So we're up to date. I have to do quarter three for those guys. They didn't. I mean, I think only one constable's office has a vacancy right now. The other ones they've been very minimal. And so if they have, they use most of their vacancy savings in quarter one. And we're not talking about a lot. I mean, I know Constable 4 funded a Marine unit, a Marine account. So it's not been a lot, and nowhere near to cover the cost of these equipments.
Amanda, in the past, and I know there are people in this room that could better answer the question, I believe, but when we took a deputy or a sergeant, et cetera, off of their vehicle stipend and we put them into a vehicle. We were able to do that at kind of a net zero cost because we would take the funding that was going to their salary, we deposit it somewhere, and we would buy the car, buy the vehicle, and move on down the road. And it didn't cost the county much. It seems like now, I don't know why, number one, we buy cars without funding for the equipment. And, you know, maybe we should have bought, instead of 29 cars, we should have bought 15 cars and the equipment versus 30 and no equipment. Because basically you put us in a situation now where we're going to have 30 cars that are sitting in a lot with no equipment. That's a bad solution.
Keep in mind that these are the vehicles that you, in 2020, you will see a major impact on, right? So in 2020, there is no car allowance for these people. There is no benefits on that car allowance. Okay. So for us, it's a two-year turnaround. We have to buy the vehicle and the cars and the equipment in 1 year, and then in the next year, you recoup the savings in 2020.
Then what we need to do is you need to work with Rakesh and be able to capture that next year to cover, you know, at least that way we have an understanding. That's what we used to do. We would say that, you know, it's going to be $44,000 or let's say $50,000 a car. We were paying $38,000 in, you know, total stipend or what have you. Year and a half later, they would come together. You're saying we're going to get there eventually, but
we're going to get there in 2020. I mean, the whole point of us ordering the cars 2 months ago was to get those cars where they're delivered in August so that we can have them equipped August and September on the road October 1st.
How do we buy that many vehicles without the funding for the equipment? That's what I'm getting at. I don't know that you made that clear.
So we just did a true up on contingency. You didn't have the money to do this before. It wasn't until we did vacancy savings for quarter three that you got to the point where you can do this.
We have $900,000 in contingency. If we take $580,000 out, and had we taken the $350,000 out, we would have nothing in contingency.
You would, if you would have funded both of the ones like I requested, you would have had $197,000 left in contingency.
I don't want to get into this, but
we did not do that.
Right, you did not do that.
Yeah.
So we have 580 that you're wanting out of contingency for this.
I'm wanting 459.
It says not to exceed 580.
I know, but I'm telling you.
You got 97.
The total is 567, again, 405.
If we didn't want to do 350, I don't see how we're going to want to do 490.
Yeah, we need to find another way to fund that.
Amanda, where does the money go that the car allowances that we take from the deputies?
Right, so those hit the 409-7573, but the people that you're buying these cars for haven't, that car allowance hasn't been taken off yet. It'll be taken off October 1st. Okay. So that's what I'm saying, is you're not really going to see those savings.
How much is that going to be?
Over $500,000 plus benefits.
That pays for equipment.
That's what I'm saying. It really is a two-year. When I brought you the vehicles back a couple months ago, I explained to you guys that I was going to probably be bringing equipment in July. So that's what I'm doing, bringing the equipment in July. It wasn't necessary for us to fund all of it at the beginning because we weren't going to issue a PO until the vehicles came in. The vehicles are getting close to coming in, so we're getting ready to purchase issue POs for the equipment.
And do you have another idea for a funding source?
Will that $500,000 be available in 2020 you're talking about?
Yes, so your 2020 budget reflects those changes that were with the salary supplements dropping off. If you look in the constable's budgets, you can definitely see where those numbers went down.
Okay. What's the what's the time frame on... I don't guess I'm getting why we're buying the equipment now when we just ordered the cars.
No, we ordered the cars back in May.
Okay.
So
the cars are here?
So the cars will be here. My understanding is the cars will be delivered like second week of August, and so that gives us about 7 weeks for us to get them fully equipped and ready to go.
And what are the vacancies? You have or have not done the quarter three vacancy sweep for constables?
For law enforcement, I have not. But
Can you do that and come? We can come back and address this after executive session?
I can, but you're talking about, I mean, literally, if you're talking about less than $20,000. Like, we're not talking any money. I mean, Constable 3 is the one that I believe has the vacancy. And, I mean, there's, like, Constable 1 has nothing. Constable 5 has nothing, for sure.
Issue is there's nothing. I just don't want to take that much out of contingency, and I don't believe this is a contingency item. This is something that should have been planned for, not something that should have been sprung on us.
It's an investment today to have a lower budget in 2020.
Where else could the constables maybe find this money? Forfeitures or some? Can they use that kind of
stuff? You can't force them to use any forfeiture money.
I didn't say I was going
to
force them to do anything.
You would have. I mean, honestly, they would have to be the ones that would come up and say that they'll use forfeiture. I can't say that for them. You guys can't say that for them. But, I mean.
Gilbert, in the future, can you make sure when we purchase vehicles that we have equipment that is going to be funded at the same time so we're not in this position again? And number two, we really need you to bring that vehicle policy to court so we can adopt it. And we need to have some guidelines. 130,000 miles, I don't think is enough. I think we need to keep these cars as long as possible. Hospital district, I think they run those Tahoes to 200,000 miles, and somebody here may be able to answer that. But
well,
between 175 and 200.
So the issue at the end of the day has created a measure, a little bit of chaos here because of our change of policy in terms of our taking individuals, taking the allowance away, putting them into a car instead. And so from that perspective, in terms of contingency, you know how I feel about contingency. In order to be able to do this, to accommodate it, so it doesn't come up as an item even in our next budget, for sure, this would be the only way that we could handle this, is what you're saying, correct?
Otherwise,
or am I wrong?
Otherwise, what you have to do is what Amy and I have talked about and told you guys that we're trying to get that effective October 1st. That's what we've told people. You would have to move that back. I mean, if you're not going to fund the equipment today, you have to move that date back. Otherwise, the vehicles aren't going to be ready for those guys to drive.
Well, I don't think that's an option.
No, but
no,
I don't see any way around it. I mean, we're going to have to.
Once it's fixed,
it's
fixed.
We're kind of in a box. I don't know how we can keep from. We can't have cars that we can't use. That doesn't make sense.
And mileage alone is not an accurate measurement of the life of a vehicle. Police cars are idle a lot. The amount of hours on an engine, you might not have 100,000 miles on an engine be worn out in it. It's a number of different things. I'm sure Gilbert and them will look at that, but there's other things to look at as well. So I don't have all the answers right now either. But
well, this is already done here, though. These cars are already.
That's right.
I mean, there's no other funding. You don't have, and this would be an issue where one of the changes that we need to make in the budget process this year is this is one reason not to allow departments to use their funding throughout the year. However, right now we let law enforcement use their salary variance to do other things throughout the year, when this would be an opportunity to capture that and use it. So it's Commissioner Metter, I think it's something we certainly should revisit and change that, because it's coming to haunt us now. And it's a terrible practice to put us in a position to come and ask for $580,000 like this. I don't like it.
I do apologize. I do feel like when I was here in May asking for the vehicles, that I did tell you guys that it would be July when I would come
back. I'll have Evan look it up
equipment.
And find out and see if he told us how much it was going to be.
But, I mean, this is. It's an investment today to have a lower budget in 2020. That's
Democratic response to spending.
Tell us one thing. If we have to refund contingency, you do that out of general fund?
Right. So, and I mean, that's what, like, you're going to get, we're about to see post July's last payroll. You're going to get vacancy savings from, you know, every single month you get vacancy savings from the general fund. And so that contingency, if you remember, we started it off really low this year, and it's had its ups and downs, but it's done what you guys, I feel like, have needed it to do. Otherwise, if not, I mean, that's a direction I think you guys should give me for the 2020 budget, is that you'd rather have more money in contingency. But that's not how we funded it this year.
We are not also going to keep moving people off of allowances to cars. Once we get this done, yeah, this it's done, and we will recoup our money.
Correct.
And I think everybody here understands that we'll eventually get it back. But to Commissioner Nowak's point, having a policy in place for sure, we need to look at, but that's easy enough to do, and we can do it. But for this, what I would like to do at this point, if there's no more discussion, is
I've
have
got
a
one
motion.
More thing. We keep talking about equipment. Is this installation too, or do we know that?
Yeah, this is the graphics, the console installation, and the Coban.
It's everything.
Okay, well, I don't see where we have any choice.
Well,
I agree.
I reluctantly move.
Second.
Contingency as a funding source.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
I'm in favor. All right. Reluctantly.
Understand.
But we have to do it. All right. Amanda D.
Consider and approve the request from the county engineer to transfer funds from a restricted engineering account to a professional services account for the repair of the department's plotter. The engineer's office reached out to me. They have some money in a engineering account for professional services that they haven't used in the last 3 years. You'll see it in their 2020 budget that they've reduced that line. They're asking to use that money to repair their plotter. Because it's a restricted line with the auditor's office, they have to come to commissioner's court to transfer that money out.
Why is it restricted?
Yeah. What line is it?
It's a professional services engineering.
What do they use it for typically?
Previously, it was for their part of the Holdsworth contract. They haven't been using the Holdsworth contract in several years, and so they're just.
How much are they transferring?
I think it was $6,000.
It's under ten.
It's under $10,000.
I think it's $6,000.
Did they check with IT to make sure that IT doesn't have IT's involved in it?
Yes. So we did. IT, because that's what originally my recommendation was, is if you don't use the plotter very much, and I know IT says that they have one that they can use, but my understanding is that they'd rather just instead of, you know, new director, they kind of, Jeff would rather just have this one repaired, and he has the money to do so, and he's not using that money for anything else, so
I'm already in their department. We're not taking it from contingency or anything else, yeah. Correct?
Bobby, it's worth repairing this plotter.
Amanda.
So you can get a new one for $11,000 or spend up to $10,000 replacing an old one.
I think she said six.
I think it's closer to six, but I know it's under ten. There you go.
How old is it? I think we could give them the authority to do it if they need to, but let Bobby and IT work with them to see if it's 10 years old and a new one is. Yeah, I mean, we may want to just look to see if it makes sense.
Well, here's these guys know what they need.
Okay, give them the money and let them figure it out.
They know how to use it.
I mean,
they can't do business without it, so might as well let them do it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Rebecca.
Morning.
Good morning, Judge. Commissioner Joanne is out sick today, so she asked that I present for her. I'm just going to pass out.
Okay. How are you this morning?
Thank you.
Joanne is asking the court to consider and approve the 2019 Consolidated Action Plan and authorize action to implement the plan. Authorize County Judge Keogh to sign documents related to the plan. On the back of this document, she's got some policy changes, and it's for agencies that apply for funding for multiple years. She's proposing a cap on those agencies and then some language on fraud.
Is this something that has to be done today? Can we wait till? I mean, it's a 634-page document. Could she come in and give us
I'm sure
the
she
exact
can.
Changes? Or
Well, she, I mean, she's sharing it with us right here, right?
Yes, sir. Those are the two changes to the plan.
We get to 112 pages, and we were passed out. It was like...
Yeah, I know. I started looking at it. It's 634 pages long. I was like, what in the world?
So the rest of it has been approved. We're talking
about, you're comfortable, yeah. You sign it. How's that?
I make a motion that we accept it.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed?
Yeah.
Thank you. Motion carries. All right, B?
Item B, please consider and approve the amendment to occupancy agreement between Montgomery County, Texas and Brazos Valley Community Action Programs for lease of office space in the North Montgomery County Community Center.
Are we doing that right now?
I think so. That's what she's saying. Yes, sir.
Over at Montgomery, you're talking about? Or in Willis? Huh? Do what? Gerald Street? But they're already there?
I think so, yes. There's no big changes to the agreement. It's just their annual agreement.
And they're leasing it? Where does the money go? I don't think I get any of it.
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Buy some radios. I move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Tammy.
Item 13A, consider and take appropriate action on a proposed tax abatement agreement. First of all, I'd like to introduce Carol Henderson. She is here from Cushman Wakefield. She flew in this morning from Atlanta. And Danielle is also here.
Good morning.
This abatement.
Glad to have y'all. Thanks for coming.
This abatement is with Five Below Incorporated. It's a property that, if approved, would be located at the Conroe Industrial Park North. The term of the abatement, they qualify for a Category C, which would be 10 years, 100%, beginning in 2021 through 2030. It would create, over the first 5 years, 190 jobs. Within the first year of completion, it would create approximately 160 jobs. And they would purchase just over 71 acres, just almost 72 acres. It would be a distribution center, 715,000 square feet. The value of that distribution center is estimated to be around $42.8 million. And, of course, that would be abated if approved. And they would have improvements of business personal property, approximately $34.5 million. And inventory of 14.9, and of course the property is currently exempt, so that is valued at 6.4, which would come on the tax roll as taxable next year if approved.
Yeah. The other thing I would add, this is a phase one of this distribution center, and the abatement is based, or the proposed abatement is based solely upon phase one, but they anticipate an expansion in year six that will result in creation of 87 additional jobs, an additional investment of $21 million, $14 million building improvement, $7 million in equipment.
Wow. Would that second phase be subject to the abatement?
Well, the abatement will run...
Would apply through the whole of it, yeah.
Yes. It's on the first phase.
Yeah.
It's what it's figured on.
The first 5 years of the second project two phase would be abated, but then it goes off at the end of 10 years.
I think this is the largest we've had out there, isn't that correct? Bigger than FedEx.
It is large.
I'm really, really excited that you guys chose our county and our city to invest in. We certainly look forward to seeing you here. And I move on the abatement.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Meets the guidelines?
It meets the guidelines, yes.
Big time.
Sounded like it.
All right, then. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Motion
stands.
Thank
you very much.
Thank
for coming.
You. Very exciting.
Thank you, Danielle.
Item B is also on the special session agenda for this afternoon, so I'm assuming we're just going to skip item B, and we'll do that when we begin budget workshops.
We'll defer.
Thank you. You'll be there for the report on it. Thank
right.
you.
I will be. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. 14A.
Good morning, gentlemen. In February, you closed the position of branch manager at the Tullis Library. We have interviewed and have a candidate that we would like to offer the position to. So today I'm asking you to reinstate the branch manager position to be able to provide oversight and to run the branch at New Caney. An annual salary for that position would be $65,390, and that the portion of the funds that were swept into contingency be brought forward to cover that position. The budget office has indicated that $15,388.32 would be needed to complete this fiscal year.
And then for FY 2020, because it's not in the preliminary budget, it would be a budget impact of $90,661.662 if you guys decided to do this
today. In the 2020?
Right, so it's not currently in the 2020 budget. So if it was, that would be...
Well, when we swept that, the understanding was that if it was filled, we would put the money back. And I make a motion we do that.
Second.
This is sorely needed. We've had limited staffing at that location. We've had changes in staffing, and we have finally found a candidate. And I'll tell you, we're poaching from another nearby library system so that we could get it done.
How long have you been without a manager there?
Over a year.
So you were able to operate it for a year without a branch manager?
Because the assistant director lives in that area and functioned as the branch manager for the last year. She has not been able to do the duties, fulfilling completely what we needed in administration and what she was hired for.
You have branch managers in other areas, don't you?
We do. We have branch managers at every other location, and we have struggled to meet the needs in New Caney, and we have finally found someone that we feel would be a good team member.
If I may, have a question. How does it take a year to find somebody like this? What are we missing? Because it seems, with what Commissioner Nowak has said as well, and we are all pro-library, just so you know.
Thank you.
We believe in education, educating the kids. But you've gone a year without this, and now right here at the end, bumping the budget next year, which is not planned for, $90,600, even though we have the balance, which would be in contingency, which we have. But we're still going into the next budget with an additional bump of almost $100,000. So, the question is, what takes so long?
First of all, I've explained on multiple levels that not many people entered the pipeline to become library administrators back when the economic downturn occurred. And so for the last 10 years, we have not had very many individuals who developed the leadership skills or were trained in supervisory activities. And we are reaching the point of the graying of the library profession, and there are fewer candidates nationally to be able to fill these positions. Our system has interviewed more than half a dozen times to find the right person. I have to tell you that when we have jumped into making an offer, it has not always worked out. So we have been very careful in trying to find individuals who would truly fit our organizational culture, meet the needs of our citizens, and be receptive to the policies and guidelines for the community. Again, we have interviewed more than six rounds of candidates. We've had some people who looked very favorable but did not come. We've had others who have been very excited about coming, but they did not fulfill the requirements that we felt made a good team member. we have finally found from a neighboring system an individual who is ready to move up based on her family and her location and her acceptance of our organizational culture. She's been an assistant manager for 6 years. We feel that she has that requisite training. We'd like to offer the position.
All right.
Good.
We have a motion in effect. Is there a second?
I seconded earlier.
Is there any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm opposed.
Opposed.
All right. County Auditor.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. Good morning.
Item 15A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Rakesh, I just want to add that you and your staff have been doing a really good job since you've taken office, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Getting questions answered. You're always responsive. You're available.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Tough role. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Purchasing. Gilbert?
Good morning. The first item is to approve the engineering testing services agreement with Geotech in the amount of $166,876 is precinct two, Commissioner.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes, sir, and the second is an LJA engineering agreement. $1,069,262 for Commissioner Precinct 4.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Discussion? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes, sir. On B.
B.
We have change order number one to Glenn Fuquay. This is for Commissioner Precinct 2 in the amount of $50,000.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The next item is to award the following.
Can we take both of these at the same time?
Or yes, sir, if you'd like.
Go ahead.
First one's Fish Creek, James Construction, $6,117,793. It's a Precinct 2 project. And the second is for the printing and mailing of tax statements with Very Verge.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. All right. Becca? Grants.
Please consider and approve the fiscal year 2020 lead-based paint grant application to HUD in the amount of $1 million with a match of $100,000 from community development's budget. Please authorize Autumn Edge to submit grant application electronically on behalf of Montgomery County.
I know that lead-based paint was a big deal a while back. Are we still having that many issues with lead-based paint in people's homes? And that's what this is for, right,
to help it
removed?
Yes, sir.
Is that still a big problem in Montgomery County?
They found over 20,000 homes that could qualify for this grant. So I'm assuming, and they were approached by HUD to apply for the funds.
No, I mean, I understand. That's terrible.
Who are the ones that found all this?
I think their office was approached by HUD for the grant application.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It was approached by HUD.
I move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, IT.
That one? What do we talk about it? Before you pass all this out, can we just move to defer this item?
Yeah.
That way it's not complete and the county attorney's office isn't comfortable yet. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That was quick.
It was.
My favorite presentation.
All right, this time we will recess. First of all, do I need a motion to defer that off of the open agenda? Okay. And we'll defer that, a recess for County Commissioners Court to convene public hearings. Precinct 1.
Do you want me to take this?
Go ahead.
Consider the partial revision of all of Lot 2, Block 1, Section 6, Rogers Road Estates, to be known as Rogers Road, Section 6, Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to create two lots. There is no HOA or POA, and the plat is not ready. But is anybody here to speak about this?
Doesn't look like it is, Judge.
Commissioner, Precinct 4, you want me to take these two as well?
Yes, please.
Consider the partial revision of Lot B, 2B, Block 3, Lake Chateau Woods, Section 6, to be known as partial replat of Lake Chateau Woods, Section 6. Is anybody here to speak about that? Mr. Bagley?
Gentlemen, I'm on the board for the Chateau Woods MUD. Our deed restrictions, first off, said that none of said lots should be re-subdivided, but the wording is, with talking with our lawyer, is a little bit iffy. The purchaser of the piece of property wants to divide it. In January, the court approved and signed the document for us to...
drainage easement?
Yes, the drainage easement. But it was never filed. The new owner did not know about the drainage easement in writing, but he does know that it's there and that the drainage easement's been cleared. He has approved and guaranteed our MUD board that he would go ahead and leave the easement there, work with the
the replat.
To get it replatted so that it's on there, so that it would not interrupt the flow of water. So our MUD board went ahead and approved them to go ahead and subdivide the property.
And the plot's not ready today, so no action today. This is just a public hearing.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
That was on number one, correct?
Yeah, B1. B2, consider the partial revision of a portion of Reserve C, Palmetto Apex Real Estate Fund Development, to be known as New Caney Retail. The proposed partial replat is to create two reserves. There is no HOA or POA, but the plat is not ready. Anybody here to discuss that? That's it.
Okay.
And no action from any of these items today.
Okay.
No action on Precinct 1 either?
No.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Then we'll reconvene court. And now we move to executive session. The court recess for executive session.
Before we recess, real quick.
Yes, Jamie.
I have three things. Hold on 1 second. I was noticing that the special revenue amendment that we all are being asked to sign shows that there's yet another increase for the jail Corley facility, taking that amended contract up to $32 million. Those are things I would like to know and not have to read 850 pages of documents to find out about before it comes before us. That's been a problem for a long time. I think we budgeted $15.8 million and it's $32 million. I'd like to know before that happens again. Secondly, the San Jacinto River Authority contract for law enforcement. Did y'all read this, county attorney's office?
I'm not sure.
Because I'm reading it and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I want to pull this from open or to open and oppose it, please, until you read it. Because I don't know what it was saying.
Don, okay. Do you want to address that?
Are we up for
discussion here on that item?
Yeah. This is something that, this is why we have. Where do we stand on this? Do we need to have a motion to pull this back?
Yes. You would need a motion to, was it on consent?
Yes.
Okay. So you need to redo the consent motion to pull it to open.
You just want to pull it so you can oppose it?
Well, I would just want the county attorney's office to review these contracts that we're entering into with San Jacinto River Authority before we're asked to sign it. I thought y'all did that kind of uniform, as a matter of practice.
Senator Constable Precinct 1.
Oh, Precinct 1.
Yeah, this agreement's been in place for years and years.
Yeah. I would imagine it's a renewal.
same contract. It's.
No, I see what they're doing. I just didn't.
So, Commissioner, what this one is it, with the way that the current budget is, the preliminary budget with the 1.9% increase, mm-hmm. it hits them above the not to exceed. So they're amending that original contract right. to move the not to exceed to the budgeted amount
that's
right. in the preliminary
budget.
That's
because the budget. Original whole contract's not here. It's just a partial,
yeah,
and it's not
yeah, it's
complete.
Just one.
It's just saying they're going to pay up to 150% and of what? So, all right.
This
is just allowing them to cover the raise of 1.9%?
Right.
Yes.
This was in the consent right. agenda,
yeah.
correct?
All right, that's fine. I just didn't.
And I think we've done this before. Every time yeah. we have an adjustment, that has to be amended. But
all right, I'm all right with it then. I just didn't.
Yes. And an attorney in our office
do
has
we
reviewed
need a,
it.
So it did
no.
get reviewed.
It did get reviewed.
Do we need a motion on it,
no,
Amy?
No, we're good. I'm all right. I'll withdraw that.
Well,
we've already made a motion to accept it as it related to the
you can rescind it.
The consent agenda.
Yeah.
You can rescind.
Well, we didn't vote on it.
You
either.
Didn't vote on the, that. So.
But, Amanda, on the $32 million. Is that going to be the last of those increases for Corley? Hard to say.
We did we worked with the sheriff's office to do an estimate of what we thought it would take to get through the end of the year. It's possible that there could be one more that comes to you guys.
But
at
revenue
the
comes with it.
Yeah,
it is.
That's a funded element. And you're
this
showing
the,
all
this, the this is the pass through. So in your preliminary budget, we have that at $30 million. We filed another amendment. Right now in the 2019 budget, it's $32 million.
Yeah.
So it's pretty.
Just yeah, goes
it's revenue neutral. Yeah. I mean,
it is revenue. Yeah, it's yeah. a total pass-through.
Yeah, it's pass-through.
Yeah. How just increases the budget unnecessarily.
But even if it does that, if that's with all, because I agree, it does. But at the same time, when you have the revenue to match it, it is a wash, and it just needs to be explained. It's not part of our operating
correct.
Budget, correct?
Correct.
That's what we need to do is point
okay.
it out and just explain the fact that
yeah.
it's budget neutral, but it shouldn't just go in there.
Yeah, and that the special revenue amendments are the ones that, you know, are out of the – normally the ones that are out of the norm.
Well,
so those are the ones that normally do have the revenue associated with them or taking – money from fund balance for, you know, special revenue departments or whatever. So we did break those out previously from what the auditor's office does, but I'll do a better job of making sure that you guys are more aware of what's okay. in those amendments.
Did we take care of that Constable One thing, or is it hanging out there without a motion?
No, it's part of the consent agenda, Amber.
Yeah,
do you have that?
We voted on that.
Yes, you were good.
Okay.
It's good. I only halfway messed it up.
We stopped.
Half is better than all.
That's right.
So can we go back to 13B?
We can. 13B, yes. With and having Tammy come up?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tammy is coming back up to explain to us about our taxes.
It's great to see you again, Tammy.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go back to item 13B. Consider, discuss, and accept the 2019 effective and rollback tax rates. So in front of you, you have the effective, the rollback, which are the required rates. I also calculated a Senate Bill 2, that's my name for it, which is what we will fall under next year. And then I calculated our current tax rate. So our effective rate is 0.4475. Our rollback rate is 0.4708 per $100 of valuation. And I have revenue estimates for the general fund, for M&O, the INS, and the road and bridge for each of those rates. On the back is the additional revenues collected by my office. And also the TERS payments and the 381 payments that we are estimating for fiscal year 20.
Does this reflect certified values yet?
These are certified values.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion to accept.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, thank you.
Good work,
Tammy.
Thank you.
Tammy, thank you very much.
First time ever we got certified.
That's amazing.
I know.
Before we go to budget session that I remember.
All right. At this time, we'll move to executive session. Court will recess executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.076.
Sounds good.
Let's do it. Being our regular session, there's no action to be taken at this point on executive session. Do we have any matters to discuss here at the end concerning citizens' comments on anything?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. If you'd state your name and your purpose. And remember, we have 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sue Ellen Myers. I live in the Woodlands. And something has been bothering me all month since the last Commissioner's Court meeting I attended. When the budget was proposed, you didn't seem to consider it or even acknowledge all the diligent work that this woman did. You seemed to just say, nope, go back and cut it again. This is what I want to tell you. Just Say No didn't work with drugs back in the 80s, and it doesn't work with the budget now. My tax dollars are the dues I pay to live in this really, really nice place. And your job is to manage those dollars to benefit all of us. Manage our tax dollars so that you can provide the goods and the services that give all of us the freedom to live our creative, wonderful lives. I want you to fund roads. I want you to fund libraries. I want you to fund the census coming up in Montgomery County. And I want you to fund election security. What I don't want is for you to farm everything out and privatize it for the benefit of just a few. And as you head into these budget workshops, I really wish you would pause and remember the words of one of our former vice presidents. The moral test of a government is how that government treats the children, the elderly, the sick, the needy, and the handicapped. And if you forget that, then we truly are bankrupt. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I can assure you,
Ellen, we appreciate that.
Not all of us said no, go back. I think she's done a wonderful job. I assure you that.
She works hard all the time.
Moral test. All right. Thank you. Are there any other comments from our citizens? We have had a robust commissioner's court today. We appreciate you all being here. I have a motion to close this session.
Move.
Second?
Ooh.
All in favor? Opposed?
1054.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. If everybody, as relates to our budget workshop, since we have noticed it for 1 o'clock, we will be back at 1 o'clock for our budget workshop. And it will begin. We'll be off and running.
Yahoo!